Have your Bibles with you. Go ahead and open them with me to the book of Lamentations. The book of Lamentations, it might take you a couple of minutes to find it, but we will be together in Lamentations chapter 1 this morning. Now, before I share with you kind of a foundational verse as we jump into this book, I want to maybe give you a little bit of insight into how I prepare my sermons. Hopefully, at this point, you realize that I don't just play what I like to call Bible roulette. I start flipping through my Bible and put my finger down in a spot and say, okay, here we are. I've shared this a couple of times, I think it's important that we look at the Bible holistically. We don't pick and choose parts, but we see the Bible as a whole. And one of the things that we find throughout Scripture is the picture of Christ. Now, we may not see Jesus exactly referenced, but we see the hope of Jesus in the midst of all of God's Word. Now, as I began to look, and as we started to conclude our time in 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, I began praying about which direction we should go for our next sermon series. And I'll be honest with you, how many of you have ever had, I don't want to say an argument, probably the most appropriate word, but a discussion with the Holy Spirit where you said, are you sure? So, for whatever reason, as I was praying, I felt the Holy Spirit leading me towards the book of Lamentations. Now, I jokingly say this, but I highly doubt many of us have done our daily Bible readings in the book of Lamentations. Lamentations, in and of itself, is probably one of the most difficult books, excuse me, in all of the Old Testament. Right next to Job, we see this depth of despair, of hardship, of brokenness. Thank you for not leaving. As you begin in the book of Lamentations, I think what we see is a picture of life. So many times we look at God's Word and we think it's so distant, we think that it's detached from who we are, where we are, that it doesn't understand what's going on in our lives. As I read through Lamentations 1 this past week, I read it 4 or 5 or 10 or 15 times. I don't know how many times I read it. Even as I sat in my office this morning and read through Lamentations 1, I'm just going to go ahead and say this. Lamentations 1 is hard. It's hard. You can't make light of it. There's no jokes. There's no bright ray as we read through chapter 1. But Lamentations 1 points us to the depth of hurt. Now, one of the most common feelings I think that all of us can share is hurt. Now, it's not a fun subject. It's not a subject that we bring up very often. You know, as a preacher, I can tell you I don't often like to preach about hurt. I don't like to preach about those sad things. But in the human condition, sin brought hurt. Sin brought loss. It brought pain. And it brought sorrow. And I think one of the beginning steps as we begin to work towards a position of hope is recognizing our hurt. Many of us have struggled for years in different situations and battles that we have endured. And rather than going to God, as I read from Psalm 17 this morning, as a source of refuge, it's really just been something on the outside. But as we read through the book of Lamentations, what we will see is the author Jeremiah speaks, I think, from a depth that all of us know and struggle to express. My hope is as we walk through this book, it's not to depress you, to not beat you down, but to help us all recognize that each and every one of us struggle. And in the midst of that struggle, there is hope that goes beyond our circumstances. This morning, I want to start by reading from the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, as I mentioned every Sunday during our announcements, I would encourage you to join our email list. If you don't, I send out a weekly email I call a midweek minute. This past week, I began with this verse. Now, all of us, if you live on planet Earth, whether you have TV or not, if you have a radio station, the events of Wednesday echoed across the planet. Wednesday, groups of Christians gathered to mourn and to struggle with the state of our nation. Now, my hope here as we look into Lamentation 1, that we don't make this about politics. But ultimately, we're going to see the state of a nation who has turned from God. And not just a nation, but its people. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14 stuck out to me this week in my own personal reading as I began preparing to preach this sermon, and it says this: "And my people who are called by my name, humble themselves, pray and seek my face, and turn from their evil ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land." I think all of us as Americans can look and say that our prayers that God would heal our land. But the challenge in 2 Chronicles 7:14 is it begins where? I'm going to challenge you with this thought. It doesn't begin at the highest levels of our government. It begins in the pews in which we sit. It begins in our personal hearts. That change begins in us. And I believe it's not about politics. It's not about agendas. It's not even about opinion. But the words of 2 Chronicles says that we as His people are to humble ourselves. Church, humility is a difficult position. Humility is a place where we come to the recognition that we don't have all the answers. But the good news is we know who does. The writer of 2 Chronicles gives us a picture of how then we are to move forward. As we approach the throne of grace from a position of humility, we are to pray and to seek the face of God, looking for His direction and His purpose in our life, that we are to turn, that word repentance, to turn away from our evil ways, to turn away from our sin. You see, church, that begins with us as an individual. And then we will hear from heaven, and our sins will be forgiven, and our land will be healed. Now, the writer in 2 Chronicles here is dealing both with a national picture, but also with a personal perspective. There's a lot of connection, as we see in the book of Lamentation, as the author is the same. 2 Chronicles here gives us a picture of a nation in despair and brokenness, a people who had once understood and received and lived under God's grace and authority, but now have turned their back. 2 Chronicles this morning will be another verse that we'll look at, 2 Chronicles chapter 35, verse 25. We see a picture of lament in this book as well. Jeremiah, as he lamented for Josiah, he wrote these words. He said that ultimately these things would become a tradition or a picture. It says Jeremiah also uttered a lament for Josiah. And all the singing men and women have spoken of Josiah in their laments to this day. They made this rule in Israel. Behold, it is written in the laments. Now, I want to give you some historical perspective on the book of Lamentation and why it's important. You see, in our culture, in our day and age, we really don't have a word for lament. Most of us don't talk about it. Most of us don't really recognize it. We understand a depth of sorrow and of pain. But the picture of lamenting is a brokenness to the depths, a position of sorrow and hurt that again, unfortunately, we all probably recognize but struggle to truly express. But part of the human condition, as we've mentioned, as was written in the book of 2 Chronicles, is this universal idea of pain. Now, Lamentations, as I mentioned, it contains a unique place in the Bible. Now, most of the time, as I've joked, we don't typically go there, but in fact, it was probably one of the most important books of Scripture to the early believers as well as the Israelites. The book of Lamentations was considered part of the megalith. Now, the megalith is not some strange animal, but the megalith was the Hebrew idea. There were five rolls that were read at specific times and in specific holidays. The Song of Songs was read at the Passover. Ruth was read at Pentecost. Lamentation was read at the anniversary of the destruction of the temple. Ecclesiastes at the Feast of the Tabernacles. And Esther was read at Purim. These Hebrew ideas and these books were read as a source of reminder and of warning. Now, as we begin to look throughout Lamentation, you will see not just for the places around us, because it can quickly turn, well, I can see where this applies there. Let me challenge you this morning to let it apply here first. Lamentation will impact every area of our life. As we look at it, we see the struggles that a nation went through. Jeremiah reminds us that it comes back to us. Now, this is an interesting fact that maybe not have a ton of application to how we move forward in Jeremiah, but with Jeremiah in the book of Lamentation, that there are five books in the Bible. There's a Hebrew tradition that the beginning word in these books is also the title of these words. Now, the beginning word in the book of Lamentation is the word how. The word how in Lamentations chapter 1, verse 1 is this expression of sorrow. That word how, that depth of lament, and if you're interested at all, the word Genesis is the word in the beginning of, and Exodus, if you begin in Exodus, it says, and these are the words and names of, and the book of Leviticus is, and he was called. In the book of Deuteronomy, these are the words. The Hebrew idea was a picture of existence. It was one that expressed the depth of what the text was going to tell us. Lamentation begins with a deep breath of sorrow. It's a collection of the human suffering, those who are separate from God, battered in their own sinfulness. So you may be familiar with Handel's Messiah. In Handel's Messiah, we see similar words to the book of Jeremiah. Behold and see if there is any sorrow like my sorrow, how the Lord has covered the daughter Zion with clouds of anger. Throughout the generations, there have been those who have struggled with sorrow and putting it in its position. Lamentations, if you will, shocks us out of this place of complacence. It wakes us up to recognize that around us is difficulty, within us is hardship. C.S. Lewis, in a book called A Grief Observed, recognizes these words. He says, how the gold has become dim, and how changed the fine gold. That many of us, as we recollect, as we read through these words, will look over our lives and see how sorrow has changed us, how it's impacted us. But in the book of Lamentation, we have an opportunity to use it to grow us and to point us towards hope. So let's begin this morning in Lamentation chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, as we see the hurt from the outside in. Starting in verse 1, it says, how she sits alone, the city once crowded with people. She who was great among the nations has become like a widow. The princess among the provinces, the prince among the provinces have become a slave. She weeps aloud during the night with tears on her cheeks. There is no one to offer her comfort. Not one from all her lovers, all her friends have betrayed her. They have become her enemies. Judah has gone to exile following affliction and harsh slavery. She lives among the nations but finds no rest, and all her pursuers have overtaken her in narrow places. The roads to Zion mourn, for no one comes to the appointed festivals. All her gates are deserted, her priests groan. Her young women grieve, and she herself is bitter. Her adversaries have become her masters. Her enemies are at ease, for the Lord has made her suffer because of her many transgressions. Her children have gone away as captives before the adversary. All her splendor has vanished, the daughter Zion. Her leaders are like stags that find no pasture. They walk away exhausted before the hunter. During the days of her affliction and homelessness, Jerusalem remembers all her precious belongings that were hers in days of old. When she fell away into the adversary's hand, she had no one to help. The adversaries looked at her, laughing over her downfall. Jerusalem has sinned grievously. Therefore, she has become an object of scorn. All who honored her now despise her, and they have seen her nakedness. She herself groans and turns away. Her uncleanliness stains her skirts. She never considered her end. Downfall was astonishing. There was no one to comfort her. Lord, look on my affliction and from the enemy's triumph. The adversary has seized all her precious belongings. She has even seen the nation enter her sanctuary for those who had forbidden to enter your assembly. All her people groan while they search for bread. They have traded their precious belongings for food in order to stay alive. Lord, look and see. I have become despised. Jeremiah writes these words as a funeral service for a nation, grieving a deep sigh, a mourning word of not just difficulty, but of great loss. B.B. Warfield quotes it this way. He said, "It is sad to witness the death of any worthy thing, or even a worthy word. A worthy words do die, like any other worthy thing, if we do not take good care of it. Sadder still is the dying of the hearts of men of things in which words stand." This cry for a culture, this cry for a nation who once followed God, but now has turned their back. Jeremiah brings us each to this intimate picture of the role in which we play. Now, this first half of Lamentation chapter 1 is written from the third person. It is written from the picture of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a place where people came and flocked and found hope and security. Jeremiah now is reminding them of the great demise as they have turned their back from God. Jeremiah uses unique language in the midst of this to where he calls us not only as the listener, but as the participant. As we read through these words, as I mentioned, there's not a lot of shimmer of light. It really gives us a depth of understanding what Jeremiah was going through. I think all of us have been in that position to where we can look around and we can see hardship and loss in our own life. Many of us struggle to understand the role that it might play. Jeremiah writes these words to us today to open our eyes. Maybe there are some great challenges. I know many of you have walked through difficulties over this past year that are unimaginable. Words and places and situations that we can't ascribe truth to. We struggle, we hurt. But as we look in Jeremiah, there's this picture that God knows and God cares. As we are not just listeners, but we are participants here, we begin to see a warning for us as God's people. To open our eyes and to see as things begin to come in around us. To turn back to God and find our source of security. To find our source of strength. Unfortunately, what began to happen here in the book of Lamentation as Jeremiah laments a nation who had turned its back on God. Ultimately, the Roman Emperor Titus would conquer Jerusalem in 70 AD. In fact, there is a coin stamped with an image of a widow mourning. Jeremiah uses these words in verse 1 that there would be princes, the princes among the provinces have become slaves. Church, do you understand that's what sin does to us? It makes us its slave. Jeremiah speaks both in a literal and metaphorical sense as we come to this position of recognition that there are decisions and choices that we have made. There's sin that we have fruitionally acted upon that now we bear the consequences for. Watch your toes. See, the picture here is that there are decisions that we have made that we are enduring a hardship for. Jeremiah warns the nation and says, be careful. He says, look where you're going. Pay attention to the decisions that you're making because there will be hardship that comes. You see, there's this picture in verse 9. It says, she did not consider her destiny. Church, how many of you ever wanted to have a redo? You ever wanted to have a redo? Maybe you look back over your life and there's this moment in time to where you wish you could just start over. Maybe you can see that switch and that change that ultimately impacted everything. You know, for us this morning, as we look at the book of Lamentation, we are confronted with the difficult truth of our own sin. Now, hear me when I say this. That sin has consequences, but there is grace. Jeremiah, as he writes throughout the book of Lamentation, points us consistently to hope. Even as he talks about the hardship in which we endure, that there is hope. This warning for us as we read through these verses this morning is to open our eyes and receive it. The book of Revelation chapter 21, verse 2, it says, then I, John, saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. You see, even though we can lament with Jeremiah, maybe in the state of our nation or even the state of our own lives, Revelation reminds us that one day there will be restoration. That one day there will be new life. That one day those what ifs will be made right. That one day those if I could have will be justified. That one day those things will be purified because of Christ. You see, these hard reminders as we listen to the words of Jeremiah bring us to a place to hear. You know, church, I can think back over things that I have walked through in my life, and as I recollect the sorrow in which I endured, those were moments in time to where I learned more about who God was than in any other situation. Jeremiah now changes his tone in Lamentation chapter 1, verses 12 through 22, to where he's not just looking at the hurt on the outside, but the hurt on the inside. Jeremiah is no longer talking just about the nation, but he's talking about himself. He changes linguistically to the first person. In Lamentation 1, verses 12 through 22, he brings us to not just this existential picture of what's happening around us, but of what's happening in our own hearts. The book of Romans, that we all sin, and reminds us that we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But the hope that we have is in Jesus. And Jeremiah brings us to this position. It's as if we are reading his journal. Starting in verse 12, he says these words. Is this nothing to you, all who pass by? Look and see. Is there any pain like mine which was dealt out to me, which the Lord made me suffer on the day of his burning anger? He sent fire from on high into my bones. He made it descend. He spread a net for my feet and turned me back. He made me desolate, sick all day long. My transgressions have formed into a yoke, fastened together by his hand. They have been placed on my neck. And the Lord has broken my strength. He has handed me over to those I cannot withstand. The Lord has rejected all the mighty men within me. And he summoned an army against me to crush my young warriors. The Lord has trampled virgin daughter Judah like grapes and winepress. I weep because of these things. My eyes flow with tears, for there is no one nearby to comfort me. no one to keep me alive. My children are desolate because the enemy has prevailed. Zion stretches out her hands. There is no one to comfort her. The Lord has issued a decree against Jacob, and his neighbors should be his adversaries. Jerusalem has become something impure among them. The Lord is right, for I have rebelled against his command. Lord, all you people, look at my pain. My young men and women have gone into captivity. I called to my lovers, but they betrayed me. My priests and elders perished in the city while searching for food to keep themselves alive. Lord, see how I am in distress. I am churning within. My heart is broken, for I have been very rebellious. Outside, the sword takes the children. Inside, there is death. People have heard me groaning, but there is no one to comfort me. All my enemies have heard of my misfortune. They are glad that you have caused it. Bring on the day you have announced, so that they may become like me. Verse 22. Let all their wickedness come before you, and deal with them as you have dealt with me, because of my transgressions. For my groans are many, and I am sick at heart. As we read the words of Jeremiah, as I mentioned, this is as if we open his journal and we read what he's going through. For years, I have kept a prayer journal, and in my desk, there are a number of those journals. I look back over them from time to time, and there are moments that I wish I could say I wrote as eloquently as Jeremiah, but I don't. There are times I look back and I feel the words that Jeremiah speaks. You see, because of our sin, all of us have felt alone. All of us have felt separate. All of us have felt desolate. All of us have felt abandoned. You see, the words of lamentation, as I mentioned, are not easy words because they land in our hearts heavy. They land in a place where many of us don't like to deal. But the book of Lamentation reminds us not only of the hurt and the hardship in which we endure because of sin, but also the hope that is coming. Even as we listen to these sorrowful words of the prophet Jeremiah, he is saying, one day there will come hope. Church, no matter what you're going through, one day there will be hope. In the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the sorrow, Jeremiah still sees the purpose of God. Now, he deals very personally with his own sin, doesn't he? He calls out his own rebellion. Church, we begin to struggle with that personally as we like the idea of understanding, hey, everybody sins. But when it becomes personal, it's much more difficult to deal with. When the book of Romans says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, you know who that includes? Me and you. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the hope that we have is in Christ. Even the words of Jeremiah as he laments all of the sorrow in which he is enduring, he reminds us that hope will come. His cry to God is that he would be heard. In those final words, he says, that you have dealt with me because of all my transgressions, for my groans are many and I am sick at heart. We go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, and it says that if we will seek God's face, that if we will turn from our wicked ways. You see, many of us have become so accustomed to sin in our life that it no longer even shakes us. That we just get used to the train wreck that we call life, that we just pretend like it wasn't part of our fault. Now hear me when I say this. There are things that happen that are not your fault. There are things that because we live in a sinful world, we endure collectively. But the challenge from God's word this morning is maybe there are things that you are enduring because of decisions that you have made. And the hope and call that we have is to repent. The hope and call that we have is to receive the grace of God, to turn from those things and receive the healing that he promised. You see, church, I don't know what goes on in your daily lives. I know most of you. I talk with most of you. But there are things that each of us deal with, and many of us can relate deeply to the pain and captivity and this understanding of who Jeremiah and what Jeremiah is going through. But you see, as we begin to see how this shines light in the darkness, if you will, we go to the book of Revelation once again. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. See, verse 12 reminds us this grief over a lost opportunity. It tells us that there is a continued hope for us. Revelation 3, verse 20 says, "Listen, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and dine with him, and he with me." Verse 12 of Lamentation chapter 1 gives us this picture that Jesus stands at the door and knocks. And that picture of knocking is not as if, how many of you ever knocked on a door? I remember as a kid, and I didn't really want to talk to him. I was afraid that they were actually going to answer the door, and I went. I knocked on the door, right? But I wasn't sure if they were going to answer me. That's not how Jesus knocks. You see, church, Jesus stands at the door and knocks. And it's not just once. It's time and time again. Jesus calls. He says, "Come home." You see, lamentation is not just a picture. It doesn't end in chapter 1. It doesn't just say, "Listen, the world is terrible. Deal with it." Jeremiah says, maybe there are things that we need to turn from. Maybe as a nation, no, not maybe, there are things as a nation that we need to turn from. As God's people, we need to be an example, a light to the world around us, to point towards truth. But it begins in our hearts. Jesus himself stood before Jerusalem, just as Jeremiah would have in this moment. Now, you'll remember that each year the Israelite people read through the book of Lamentation. I'm sure everybody was really excited to go to that service, right? We're in chapter 1, and you're like, "Man, I'm not sure I'm coming back next week. Please." Lamentation chapter 1 reminds us, as Jeremiah views the destruction of a once great city, the destruction of himself because of decisions and hardships he has endured. Jesus stands before Jerusalem in Matthew 23, verse 37, shortly before his crucifixion. And he says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem." That word "O" is actually the same word that begins Lamentation chapter 1. That cry of sorrow. That word "how" or "O" or "alas." Jesus stands before Jerusalem and says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I have wanted to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." You see, verse 17, it says that Zion spreads out her hands, but no one comforts her. This picture of God spreading out his hands, calling and saying, "Come home, sinner. Come home." Jesus standing before Jerusalem, seeing the brokenness in front of him, saying, "How I just wanted to gather you together as a hen would her chicks, to bring protection and warmth and safety." Church, I wonder this morning, is there some sin that has kept you from it? Is there something that you have allowed to build barriers between you and God? This morning, the opportunity stands to repent and turn. Maybe this morning there is something that you have struggled with, some hurt and hardship and sorrow that you can't even express. Jesus stands at the door and knocks and says, "Come." Jesus stands at the door and knocks and reminds us that no matter what we be going through, we have a source of hope. As I mentioned, Lamentation 1 is not the end of the story. It's only the beginning. It's the opportunity to begin to change the identity, to recognize the cause of the hurt and the hardship. Lamentation 1 is a difficult chapter, but a chapter that each of us can deeply recognize in our own hearts. It leaves us with a decision. It leaves us with a decision to turn to God or to ignore the warning. I've shared my stories with you before about growing up in the Texas panhandle and the tornado warnings that happened there. I told you about my Dallas Cowboys football helmet. It's the one I wore. Ran my chubby little self out to the cellar when it was hailing. You know, what's interesting about a warning, and this is a complete side note, the very first Sunday I preached here, as is my regular habit, I preached longer than noon, and the siren went off, and I was like, there's a tornado coming, and we're all going to die. Scared me to death. But you see, warnings are an important thing. But unfortunately in life, we become so accustomed to ignoring, saying that doesn't apply to me. All of us remember the sign at the bottom of the viaduct. Some of us tried to see how fast we could make the little speed limit sign go up. It was a warning, right? It told us this is how fast we should go, but instead of listening, we decided we were going to do what we wanted. You see, church, that's what sin does for us. It's this temptation that says just a little bit further, just a little bit more. You don't have to worry about that. Lamentation is a warning to God's people to open their eyes to the sin that surrounds them and the sin that begins in their own heart. Lamentation 1 is this do-over opportunity for us. It says, here's your sign. Pay attention. Here's your warning. Be prepared. For us as believers, as I mentioned a moment ago, as we look around at the circumstances in our nation, what this means for us is that we are an opportunity to point others towards hope. That in the midst of all the confusion and chaos, rather than spewing hatred and hurt, we're to point people to Christ and restoration and grace. Those are difficult things. Our country needs God more than ever. We as His people need Him more than ever. The cry of Lamentation 1 is to listen, to repent, and return. I hope as we continue through this book, as we see the depths of hurt, we also see the great source of hope that we have in Christ. Whatever your decision is this morning, come as the worship team joins.